Friends, first of all, a happy Easter to you. We can do better, right? Thank you very much. I've seen some of you after so long, so good to see you. I really want to thank you for being such a good congregation in the sense that all of you have your masks on. We are trying to keep it very safe here, even though just recently we started seating people one pew after leaving one empty. Thus far we were two pews. So I really want to thank you and I appreciate you just trying to follow the guidelines and trying to keep everybody else safe. So I'm very, very encouraged by that. To the people online as well who are joining us live stream, a happy Easter to you. Maybe I heard you, maybe I did not, but we are not forgetting you. A question has always plagued my mind. If the incarnation of Jesus, his life, his death, and resurrection was indeed meant to be the turning point of human history, then why is the world still a mess? What really is the implication of the death and resurrection of Jesus? Here we are in church celebrating Easter. But in various parts of the world, violence is still raging. Wars are still being fought. Children are still dying of hunger. Human life is being unconscionably destroyed. Creation is still being ravaged by our endless consumerism. And we still cannot fathom that beneath the color of our skin, we are all God's children. And you would think that a global pandemic could bring us all together. We have even surrendered that possibility. And don't get me wrong, I'm not being pessimistic. I'm not looking at the glass half empty. I'm not oblivious of the presence of immense goodness in the world. Yes, the pandemic revealed that there is much goodness in the world and that there are many, many good people in the world. I'm merely regretting that the power and the potential of the resurrection of Jesus has not been realized fully yet. And I want to get there. Perhaps I'm too eager to see God's original vision for the world realized in the here and now. So my reflection for Easter is based on the understanding that, and hear me carefully, that resurrection is not a magic solution to the world. The resurrection is not magic. But that the resurrection of Jesus opens a new possibility and offers a new promise. But I also want to emphasize that the resurrection is an invitation. An invitation to join hands with the risen Christ for the work of human redemption. So if you have missed it over the last 1 year, here are my 3 points for today. First, the resurrection is not magic. Let me explain this. The resurrection came at the end of Jesus' life. If Jesus was not faithful to the Father's will, if he abandoned his mission, remember the time in the desert when he was tempted, if he did not embrace his passion, if he did not accept the cross, if he did not willingly die for the salvation of the world, there would be no resurrection. And please do not misunderstand me when I say this, but Jesus had to work towards the resurrection. It wasn't magic. He had to work towards the resurrection. Having embraced the world and his human nature at his incarnation, Jesus spent 33 years in the world working towards the resurrection. And yes, God raised Jesus from the dead. Sure, the resurrection is a miracle, but that did not happen as if by magic. It took everything out of him. His life, his very last breath, his very last drop of blood. The resurrection came to be because of Jesus' fidelity, his goodwill, his compassion, and his righteousness. It came to be because of Jesus' faithful love for the human race. It was the result of his humble obedience to the Father's will. It was the result of his steadfast trust in God's power beyond death. Folks, if we, the world, and the human condition need to change for the better, it's not going to happen like magic. It is Gandhi who said, "Be the change you want to see in the world." But more than anybody else, we have the very example of Christ. He transformed human history by simply dedicating his life to love. Folks, and there's no other way to describe Christ's life, right? He changed the history, the destiny of the human race, of creation, of the entire world, by simply dedicating his life to a life of love. And this very love, and not magic, is the secret of letting the power of the resurrection overtake the world. My second point, the resurrection, a promise. So yes, it is true that the world is far from what God created it to be. It is also true that Jesus worked hard to restore the world back to the image in which God originally created the world. Now, in spite of Jesus' death and resurrection, we admit we are not there yet. But the resurrection of Jesus reveals this, and I think this is my hope. The resurrection of Jesus reveals that those who commit themselves to God's work are exalted in ways that defies our wildest imagination. When the opponents of Jesus put him in the tomb and covered the entrance with a heavy stone, they thought they had eliminated him forever. They thought that when they buried him, they had also buried this dreamer and his dream for a new world, a world that God originally envisioned. Little did they know that God cannot be contained in the bowels of the earth. Rather, God's promise for those who work towards God's world is endless and eternal. The resurrection of Jesus is the realization of that promise. So today on this Easter day, especially people like me, maybe you are a little more hopeful, a little more optimistic. Not that I'm pessimistic, it's just that I want to get there now. But on this day, on Easter day, let us keep the faith. It's not over yet. Yes, the world sucks, but it's not over yet. Like the one who was raised from the dead, our love must never fade. The resurrection is not magic. It is a promise. It's the promise of a new world, a renewed humanity, a new destiny, an eternal life for those who join hands with the risen Christ. And I'm asking you, each one of you, let us join hands with Jesus Christ, because there is a promise that those who join the hands with Jesus there is a promise that will be fulfilled, that this is not the end. And finally, the resurrection, an invitation. Today is Easter. Now, we are here in the church, and believe me, in the last year, this is the most amount of people that we've seen in church. So, we are here in church. We survived the pandemic, guys. There are more than 500,000 people that did not. And we who are present here believe that Jesus, the Son of God. We believe that not only is he risen from the dead, but that he is alive and among us at this very moment. For this reason, we will bow down to Christ in worship, and we will soon receive his body and blood, the bread of life and the cup of salvation. And for many of you, it'll be your first time in a whole year. But that is not all there is to it, is it? If that were the case, that okay, Jesus is risen, we're all good, if that is all the case, then there was no need for Jesus to send his disciples out on a mission. In today's gospel reading, we have Jesus telling Mary Magdalene, who was first to see the risen Jesus, go and tell his disciples and Peter, he's going before you to Galilee, there you will see him as he told you. If the resurrection has no implications for us and the world, then it would not be necessary for Jesus to say this. He also says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. What does this mean? It means the resurrection is an invitation. It's an invitation to the disciples to join hands with Christ, as an invitation to us to join hands with Christ. One day, after the death of Jesus, two disciples were on the road to Emmaus. They were despondent, they were hopeless and downcast. And the Lord met them on the way as a stranger and opened the scriptures to them. Remember, they were on the road to Emmaus. When it was evening, the stranger joined them for dinner. But that dinner became an invitation for them to go back to Jerusalem instead to Emmaus. The rest, folks, is history. So let me say this in conclusion. Just like the disciples whose despair turned to hope, whose sadness turned into joy, and whose anguish turned into courage, today let us return to Jerusalem. Not just to church for Easter. Let us return to Jerusalem, because there we will join hands with Christ. Like these two very little disciples, let us accept the invitation to join hands with Christ. This Eucharist is only the beginning. This is the same dinner that the two disciples on the road to Emmaus experienced. We are at a similar dinner. And at this dinner, he invites us to continue the work that he began. The resurrection is not magic. And neither is the transformation and the renewal of the world. None of that is going to happen as if by magic. But we can join hands with Christ. For a start, let's begin at home. Really, the home needs to be the first place where we join hands with Christ. May our homes be places where the power of the resurrection is alive. Let us take it to work tomorrow. Let us infect our neighborhood with the love of the risen Lord. And folks, it may not work like magic, but I bet you it will be like a miracle. Jesus is present in our midst. It's not magic. It's Christ's commitment to us and to the world. Through us. Let's take his mission and his work forward. People of God said,